College basketball fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to discuss college basketball in a much different way than we assumed that we'd be doing right around this time. Welcome back, hope everybody's doing okay, relatively speaking, of course. Last show we kind of talked about what we're doing here as far as just being a distraction, just kind of reminiscing over a variety of items. Last show we actually went over that bracketology and kind of pushed who we thought would be in the Elite Eight in the Final Four and whatnot. We'll resume that and kind of pick a couple more games there to choose, you know, who we would have thought would have won type of thing. A lot of great games in that round of 32, though, matched up. My goodness gracious. And then we also just went with the memories stuff, you know what I mean? Obviously, whether it's, you know, Cinderella stories, whether it's teams that came out of nowhere type thing, whether it's, you know, Big East tournament memories, NCAA memories, teams that we just kind of remember, kind of like last week we did the Duke and how it related to me, and as far as not related to me personally, but how I saw them and where it went and whatnot. So we'll definitely be covering a variety of different, you know, great games or some teams, you know, that came up out of nowhere. You know, my co-host is going to talk about, you know, Curry's run with Davidson and the Florida Gulf Coast and whatnot. I'm going to talk a little bit about some Big East moments. I went with Duke last week. I got to go UNLV this week. And I realized a lot of these, whether it's the Fab Five or UNLV or the where the Duke program really kicked in full force and became, you know, what they are today, a lot of it was like on the cusp of being a teenager, right? Turning to the teenage years. And a lot of things when you're in high school, no matter what it is, obviously with me it's sports in this category, this topic or whatever, but there's just certain things that are just kind of concreted into your head. You know, you're just going to remember them, why you remember them, that type of thing. And that's why I kind of related the whole Duke thing and what it meant nationally and locally or to me as well. And so I am going to cover the UNLV squad because I kind of felt bad. Like I went right to Duke, and not that UNLV became this, you know, legendary, you know, program after this, but the dominance they showed that year and even the year before, and even a couple years before that, I think like 86, 87, they had a chance to win it. So we're going to talk about that. So we're going to talk about a variety of stuff here on the College Ball Show. But yeah, this would be, normally we'd be talking Sweet 16, which would start Thursday night at 6 Central. That's when it would all really start to come into play. We'd be, right now it'd be Sweet 16, dude. Man, that's crazy if you really think about it. It would have been a wild opening week, and obviously we went over the reasons why, just based off the regular season is a good enough reason to say that. But if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome back. Thanks for supporting us during this time frame. You can listen to it live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoverradio. It streams live, it archives, it's right there, but you don't have to download it just at Blog Talk. If you want to listen to the College Ball Show under the Rope and Dope Radio podcast umbrella, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, really across the board, including the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found across the board as well, including Spotify. In fact, with Siri or Alexa, through Spotify or TuneIn, you can find the platform. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? It's basketball, it's football, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. They're actually doing a lot of great, and we may kind of talk about this as they work through it at the Grueling Truth. They're doing like great players and great teams. A lot of the, you know, we've seen the ESPN stuff, which we'll probably talk about in a little bit. Maybe not this, you know, maybe next week or whatever. But they're doing the greatest college they did the greatest college basketball players, male or female of all time, and they did a bracket and all that. I thought some of it was interesting. Some of it was debatable and all that type of stuff. So it's pretty cool. The Grueling Truth is actually doing one where they're saying the best teams of all time and putting it in a bracket. So that'll be something I think next week or the week after that we'll talk about as they work their way through that. But right now, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. And real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have and you're not quite happy, a lot of people are at home. Some people don't have the money, the extra money to spend on stuff like that, which I understand. For those who are thinking about just adding a package for the next month or two or whatever, you could try AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have a 7-day free trial, no annual contract, so you're not going to be stuck for a year or anything like that. The plans start as low as $60 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR as well. It's called AT&T TV Now. That's live streaming cable. However, if you do have just poor, you know, internet, whether it's just that's what you have or regionally where you live, a lot of people in the outskirts don't have good internet. So if you have that issue and you don't want to do live streaming cable, because I understand it's not just like an archive in Amazon or that type of thing, Netflix, it's a live stream. So that may mess you up. You do have AT&T TV, which is a normal cable platform. They are growing. It's here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. There's parts of New York, Florida, California, Texas, all the way up to Seattle and Washington, a variety of different places. You can try AT&T TV. Basically, just Google it. Put your area code in there and see if it's available. Otherwise, AT&T TV Now for live streaming. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host. And usually I say check temperature and see how he's doing, but that is not maybe necessarily the best verbiage to say at this moment. Although everybody should be checking their temperature if they do feel warm. Just kind of going over that, you know. A lot of this stuff, sorry, Marshall, but I did want to say this at the beginning. A lot of this, the symptoms can be normal symptoms. You can have the flu right now just like you normally would potentially. Also, you know, with the spring coming around, you know, seasonal flus and also just allergies. So if you have a runny nose, it doesn't mean you have it. If you have, you know, some stomach issues or you have flu-like symptoms, it doesn't necessarily mean you have it. Now, they are saying the big difference is the respiratory thing, right? The breathing. So if you're having problems breathing, if you're short of breath and you have the symptoms as far as a headache and all that, that might be something you want to go check out. But as we know, some of this stuff you don't have the symptoms and then you have it. So just try to be as safe as you can out there. But how are you doing relatively speaking right now, Marshall?
I can't complain too much. I mean, I'm just chilling at home, putting in a couple hours of work as a teacher. I'm honestly just going to jog every day, a couple miles. I didn't do it today, but I did push-ups and sit-ups. You know, I think that, and God, I know nothing medically about anything, but I do think just you got to do some type of physical activity if you can. I mean, you know, I think my 3-mile-a-day jog, even though it only takes, you know, about not too much out of the day, it's something to get out of the house and run around. And I live by myself, so just kind of, you know, there's only so many shows I can watch and video games I can play, so I need that kind of break. Unfortunately, it's been raining like cats and dogs this week, but yeah, just I don't know what life is. Okay, I guess I'm lucky that I don't think when my family's got it, I don't think my mom's got lupus, which is obviously is not a good health condition. That she's trying to stay safe and wash her hands all the time. So for as of now, things are looking good. The girl I'm seeing though works at a pretty much a hospital physical therapy place, and my best friend down here, she's also a traveling nurse who's selling out. So it does kind of scare me about the medical supplies. I mean, you know, I know that it's on the news all the time, but I hopefully, Chris, they start making that stuff quick. Cause like,
yeah,
the biggest people now helping our community, or I should say our country, are the doctors that are testing people. Cause you should get tests, like you said. So if the doctors start to run out of supplies, then that's where I think we could have a worse issue. You know, all these doctors are doing all they can. So you really do got to get them all the stuff they need to keep testing people and keeping people safe. And I think that's kind of happening. Again, not to make this too political, but if doctors are going to work overtime, like, let's give them all the shit they need so they can keep people in the spots they need to be.
Right. Doctors, nurses, anybody involved with this, you know, you could see actually from those masks, some of them after they're done with their shift, they have a mark around their face, like a brown or black mark and stuff like that. You can tell that the amount of hours these people are getting in or putting it in, obviously. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, you're right, though, as far as, like, it is pretty crazy just the fact that we don't, like, in the next couple of weeks is really going to be taxing on us when it comes to that, man. And that's a scary one because it's like, you think at the very least we'd have the equipment just to go do the job, you know?
Yeah, I saw some tweet saying they expect Dallas hospitals to run out of hospital supplies to help with this on April 14th. And clearly, just to be realistic, like, this stuff's not going to be gone by April 14th, you know?
So, right.
And I get that we want to have the approach of let's bounce back from this as a country, which is awesome because no one enjoys this, but you also got to just look big picture. If the city of New York has, like, you know, all these, you know, positive tests, other cities do too. So it's just,
right.
Just got to, I guess, remain calm, but help the medical people out because, you know, those people are doing all they can to help people and stuff. So yeah, with a great country that has, you know, billion-dollar industry sports teams and awesome restaurants and so much to offer, it's like, dude, we can't, like, make masks.
Right.
I don't know.
That's a killer.
It is.
I know locally 3M has stepped up their production here locally, so Minnesota should be a little bit better, and they're sending them, you know, to other places too. But that is another thing too, and that's where you think federally that needs to step in because – you know, everybody's competing with the same source to try to get these, you know, masks, and they're selling them for $6, $7 when they're normally 80 cents. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So that's where it's like, all right, guys, so are we gonna make a – you'd already are making a profit off it at 80 cents. Do you need to gouge right now? I do like, though, that the signs that they're starting to put up at these, you know, supermarkets and whatnot of saying, hey, you know, take two of them and that's it. You know what I mean? And they can stop them on the way out and all that. And I do like how a lot of these places aren't doing refunds for these people. Because it's like, screw you, man. You're the one, you know.
I saw a video yesterday on Twitter of, like, an older lady. I mean, she had to be in her 70s or 80s. And this lady with a full shopping cart who had, like, three huge stacks of toilet paper, like, wrestling a large stack of toilet paper out of the old lady's hand. Eventually some people came and, like, pulled the lady away and was like, let the lady get her toilet paper. It's just right. That is the one part. It's like, dude, that lady is like 30 years older than you. You can't, and you already have a shopping cart full of toilet paper. Like, don't, like, try to steal a roll from her. Like, that's what we don't need right now at all.
There's plenty of food. I actually just went today to re-up on, like, try to get some more meat. That was the biggest thing. I couldn't really – I'm eating a lot of fish, which actually is pretty cool. I'm going to – you know, it's not bad, but I did manage to get some chicken breast today, and there is plenty of food. And guess what, folks? And I can't speak for every place or whatever. I'm just saying here, last week that toilet paper was out most places, but the place I go to that's really close to my house, now there's like maybe 20% of what it normally had. So, I mean, you can, like, right when you walk in the door, they got toilet paper and towels for you. You know what I mean? So, everybody just calm the fuck down. Go and get something to eat. Try to, you know, be smart with it. And there's no food shortage. We do not have a food shortage, nor are we going to have one.
No.
So, just calm the fuck down. You know what I mean? And, you know, if you go hoarding too much, you're going to have to eat all this stuff. So, how much stuff do you want to eat out of a can for 3 months if you don't need to?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I know. All right, so let's get into a different rant, though, that does tie into basketball. And I don't really even think this is a discussion, but and I know I didn't mention this, but I saw this article pop up again. I remember having this conversation with my group chat. The NCAA needs to get their shit together and grant all the kids eligibility for another year if they want the seniors for winter sports, okay? I know you did it for the spring sports, but dude, and even if this is, and I know this maybe doesn't apply to football because they're done, but college hockey, you know, obviously, like baseball, like all these sports were about to have national titles. Like, there's no reason why the NCAA has to ponder and think, what do we do? Why the hell? I just, you took away March Madness, which was the right decision to make for the safety of our nation and health, which is fair. Sports do not trump people's health. But how do you not, Chris, how do you not grant, and again, and not everyone's going to take it. And sure, okay, maybe it's a weird spot for a coach. Now you have people come back and you already got recruits coming in. But they can figure that shit out. The fact that the NCAA is still pondering on if we give seniors another year of eligibility for kids and boys and girls who didn't get to have a chance to win a title, like, it just blows my mind how ignorant that the committee is. No one can give me a damn good reason as to why they should not be given an extra year if they choose it. And again, not every senior is going to want to come back. And who, maybe some are going to graduate and get a new job. Maybe some will go pro. Maybe some just say, you know what, it's been a good run. But there's probably a, just for example, a shitload of college basketball guys who know they're not good enough to go pro. But hey, you know, I have a great team coming back next year. Let me enjoy my March Madness run. Or especially for the small conferences. Like, you know, all those, we were talking so much. I always love it, the small conference tournament week. Like, you know, your East Tennessee States, Belmont, you know, I think Boston won the Patriot League. Like, those small schools that, like, it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal, you're telling me those seniors don't get the chance? I don't think you argue this. I mean, we could do the ESPN first take hot takes, and you could argue back, but I don't think you're too good of a man to disagree. Don't you think that you just have to, or to agree, to, don't you think you have to just let the seniors get another year? What's the biggest thing that hurts NCAA if they do that, Chris?
Well, first of all, I'm not a good man. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it is, there is issues with it. There is some random stuff. There is some headaches. It is a headache. You know, I understand that. That there is a headache for that. You know, that's fine. And like you said, I think the biggest thing is the fact that you have these players coming in. And really, I think it's only a big deal to, like, top 30 programs, if we're being honest, because these other programs, they're not going to get – they're just going to be like, oh, sweet. We got, like, an 8- or 10-man rotation now. You know what I mean? Like, but the top 20 and 30 teams, especially, let's say, top 10 to top 15, I think – that they're going to have an issue because now they got these young dudes coming in that I want to start, but if that senior just had a great year, how the hell are you going to take that starter? Or will they still have time to switch places? They could go to a different school and you could lose out on that recruit. So is it a headache? Sure. I really think it's like the rich could get richer, you know, well, in the way this – these bills get written too, of course, but I'm talking about as far as college programs. They could, I mean, if you brought in a bunch of young dudes and then you have two or three solid seniors coming back, that may be a national championship team, but there's a lot of folks that may say that as well, or may have the scenario. And I guess for 1 year, we would get just a small glimpse of the 80s and 90s and way beyond.
Sure.
Remember, it was like 70 something, 72. Or seven, I don't know. I just remember when they were talking about the Fab Five in 1992, and they said 20 years ago, freshmen weren't even able to start. They weren't even able to play. They used to redshirt freshmen. A lot of people don't realize that. And it's not like 1950s. They used to do that. That's why the UCLA was just a juggernaut, because they just kept, like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar redshirted. You know what I mean? Like, think about that, you know, that type of stuff. But anyway, so, you know, I think to finish what I was saying, though, I do think that we'd see some depth on the college roster that we haven't seen in quite some time, which would almost make up for what we missed right here. So, yeah, is it a headache? Yeah. Is there issues where a smaller school may not be able to, the scholarship actually might start to hurt them a little bit financially? Maybe. I don't know. One thing is, though, that they're looking at is, you know, as we know, college basketball and college football, they make up like 90 or 85% of the revenue for everybody. And that's why a lot of these sports, you know, I mean, just to be honest, that's why they still have a budget and all that. I guess the biggest thing is, do we have that extra money? You know, we do, but, or at least they should have it. But when you start to go small school to small school, and there's over 300 D1 schools, then that starts to get in a little weird. Wonder if the small schools can't do what the bigger schools could. And then you got these teams that already have better athletes and better players. Now they're deeper too, you know? So yeah, there's headaches, but like you said, you gotta find a way to figure it out. You could tell how much that money is for actually the March Madness part, the tournaments and everything like that, because obviously the tournament for the conference tournaments helps the conference money-wise a little bit, of course, or a lot of bit. And then also the NCAA tournament, the CBS, the TNT, the TBS, all that money, you wonder, like, what's happening with the ad money for that? Do you really think advertisers are like, I want my money back. Why would I not get my money back? You know what I mean? So there is some issues there. And obviously the last 3 weeks is a big TV revenue part of it. So it's a headache, but I agree. You know, this is part of what you got to figure out. But as far as, let's go in real time stuff before we start to talk about, some of the memories, whether it's personal memories or a national memory that people will really remember or whatever, you know what I mean? And in the next couple of shows, we don't know how long we're going to keep doing this, but we will break down individual players too, or maybe not individual players throughout their career. We may do that stuff too, but also just that one game performance where you're just like, dude, this dude, look at these numbers. You know, we're going to break down a lot of this stuff in the coming weeks. But just looking at the Midwest and the East and then the West and the South, that's how we'll match it up, Marshall, for the bracketology. Last week, if you're just catching up, you can listen to the show from last week. We did break down a lot of these games or some of these games in the round of 32 matchups, the Sweet 16 matchups, just knowing – that some of this stuff was just going to be a great, you know, great to watch and whatever. I think I can't remember if it was somebody did a, what the hell was it? I actually have it here. My point is Wisconsin won it. That's why it stuck out to me, but they ran like a simulator. Was it the BPI? I think that's what it was. They ran a simulator and the Badgers won. So you know that's a bullshit simulator. But anyway, obviously I'm a Minnesota fan, so I'm going to say that regardless. But on that Midwest side, that was a pretty deep one. If you look at 1 and 2, it was pretty damn good at 1 and 2. Duke was kind of up and down, but they still had they were very capable of going deep, if not winning it. Just based off a lot of folks were. And where they were in the talent, and whatnot. Even like Iowa, the 6th seed, and Wisconsin 4, yada yada yada. But I think didn't we both bring Kansas out of there, beating Kentucky or whatever?
Yeah,
we both
just
brought Kansas out.
Duke had defensive problems all year, and Kentucky just, I just think Duke weren't quite as skilled as Kansas. Kansas probably was the best team on paper. Now, if Kansas has choked, I have a shirt that says it, a joke about it, but
right.
I think Kansas would have been the betting favorite for that conference or region, yeah.
Yeah, and they got a couple of teams on the best teams that never won a chip, Kansas as well. Now we had some dispute here for the East, as I remember. I did like Florida State, and I thought, hey, why are you taking Florida State's chance to actually make it to the Final Four under this really solid run what they've had under the coach there? They just only made it to the Elite Eight. I kind of felt like they were going to make a run deeper. Nova could have got their stuff together. I really liked Maryland, too. What did we come up with? I know you had Penn State to the Sweet 16, obviously, but What did you come up? Did you go Dayton? How did we get out of this one?
I think I had Villanova facing off against I think I was Villanova facing off against Maryland.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. I think I had Florida State, Maryland.
Yeah, you had Florida State and I took Nova.
All right. So let's do the Midwest. Let's do the East then. Since we're in the East. So who's coming out of this puppy then?
I would.
Villanova and just to refresh it in Maryland. Villanova and Maryland.
I think Maryland had more impressive road wins this year, and their conference was just as good. There was more. Yeah, so we'll go. I'd go Maryland. Maybe a barely slightly better resume.
And it's funny because I'm like quickly going through non-conference stuff just to kind of in my head, you know, like,
Big Ten and Big East were so good this year. It's really, really hard to, I mean, I know the Big Ten had more better teams and that mean, it would have been.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, that would have been a fun one for sure.
And I got Maryland too. The road wins, like you said, much like Maryland and Florida State, to an extent anyway, that as far as having successful seasons but not making it to the Final Four. And we both had Kansas, right? We already said that.
Yeah, yep.
Okay. Yep. So we got Kansas and Maryland meeting up on that side, which is a damn good game. So before we mess around with that, let's go to the West with Zaga. And this is the one we had a debate about with San Diego State and Zaga. And I was, you know, being that I guess I was, like, actually trying to help out the popular teams in the big programs and leaving the mid-majors to the side a little bit. But I was kind of shaking my head a little bit thinking, so Gonzaga and San Diego State get to be in their own side. I actually like San Diego State's and Dayton's non-conference as well, to be honest with you. But what did we come out with here? Were we I forgot. I'll just straight up admit it. Was it Seton Hall or out of this one? Was it Zaga?
I remember at the end I took Gonzaga just because Seton Hall this year had too many ups and downs to me, and San Diego State had not been playing good of late, unfortunately. But again, Gonzaga was averaging like 83 points a game this year. And I know it's college basketball, but like their offense was one of the best in the whole country, even being in the division they're in. So I think I went Zags just because that offense would have been too much and with the momentum they had going from their conference tournament.
And I think I went San Diego because bumped me up was Creighton. They beat Creighton. That's right. And BYU. Yep. That's right. Yep. Because I thought, well, they're not looking good, but they're going to get it. Okay, so we got San Diego State and Zaga. Here I am saying, oh, 1-2 seeds, what the hell? And then we got them both going. So, yeah, I guess it's a mute point. Okay, so then this is another one that we thought, I think we ended up saying this was the deepest one here. Baylor, number one. Creighton, 2. Michigan State, 3. Even a hot team like Virginia was 6th. Louisville, who was steady all year anyway, 4th. Ohio State, you really don't know what team they were, but still they're a 5th seed. And then you got Rutgers as a 9th seed, dude. Like, yeah, this one is the best one. Now that I've had a week to sit on it, I'm going to agree with you there, sir.
And they put together a fun year for me. I had to cheer on someone new because Carolina was trash. So Creighton put together, they were actually the last men's basketball game to be played. They played one half.
That's right.
With St. John's. So, I mean, yeah, last team to lace them up. I had Creighton come out of that bracket. That would have been, holy shit. You know, realistically, you could have like 6 or 7 teams win that bracket, which you almost never say. Normally, if you're having a debate with your friends, even if you're a homer, you're like, I see maybe 2 to 3, maybe 4 teams going to win this. Hell, we didn't mention Illinois as a 7. Like, they were leading the Big Ten earlier in the year. God, that would have been – all of you would have missed, Chris, was them throwing Kentucky in there and Coach Cal saying, why does the committee always do this to me? My teams never have a fair chance. I always get such a hard bracket.
Seriously, and he wouldn't be lying this year. Good golly,
no,
dude.
No.
And I look at Baylor, and, man, you know, for a while, beating an okay club in Arizona, a good club in Butler, beating Kansas. I just did not like the way they end the season, dude. Did I pick Creighton? I can't believe it. I don't remember if I picked Michigan State or Creighton now. I'm going Michigan State just off, just because, damn it. They actually did close pretty strong, and they actually had probably the most experienced talent coming back, or some of it, besides maybe Kansas and a couple other teams. But I'm talking about high profile teams. Let me straighten that out real quick. So I'm going to go Michigan State. So we got Michigan State. I got Michigan State and San Diego State. And you got Zaga and Creighton.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So while we're over here, why don't we just start right there? Zaga against Creighton. Who wins that one, sir? Did they play? We better see if they played. I don't think they played.
I don't think they did. Man, that would have been I think Creighton's – man, that, holy shit, that would have been a fun game. Because offensively, Creighton can run and gun with anyone, and I like how their coach set their offense later. It's a little bit of homers, but I would have picked Creighton just because I liked what they did all year. And, I mean, they faced more tougher games than Gonzaga did. So I would have picked Creighton making the to the title game.
All right, man. I definitely didn't see that at the beginning of the year.
no doubt.
Let's see.
So that leaves you with Sparty against Kawhi Leonard's university.
And, you know, as much as I like Kawhi, I'm going Michigan State. I like the depth. I like the team. I like the coach. The depth in the team, that's kind of the same thing. I like the coach. I like the experience. They got this dude named Cassius, and no, I'm not talking about Cassius Clay, a.k.a. Muhammad Ali. I'm talking about the other Cassius Winston. All right, so I got Michigan State going to the big dance. Then we have – so what
Maryland,
do you have?
Kansas.
What's that, Kansas and who? Who do you
Kansas
have?
Kansas and Maryland.
Kansas and – we both got Kansas and Maryland. That's right. Kansas and Maryland. And I got to go Kansas. If you look at their offense, you look at their defense, you look at their depth, you look at how they're closing the season, I got to go Kansas.
Yeah, I would have said so. So that would have put me with Kansas Creighton. Since this is imaginary, I would say Creighton beats them just because I can. So I would have Creighton cutting down the nets against Kansas, and that gives you.
I would have, Michigan State, Big Ten needs a championship too, dude.
Yeah.
They haven't had one since Michigan State. So Kansas people might be pissed at us. We know you got the best squad. Yeah, we know all that. But I got Michigan State tearing down the nets. The Big Ten championship, the Big Ten finally has a national champion in a long, long time coming. Yeah, it's a homer pick to an extent, but go screw yourself. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, hey, Kansas also had the best team in the country. When I actually watched a full replay of the whole Ali Farouk Minash game, and even though I knew it was coming, Chris, when he pulled up for that three, when they're up one with like 30 seconds on the shot clock left and 35 seconds in the game, and the announcer's like, oh my God, what's he? Boom! It's like, holy shit. That was and I forget. You know, the March Madness trip I always go to, me and a group of 20 guys, well, unfortunately not this year, always go to a different city. That was 2 years before I started. My best friend, Ian, they picked Oklahoma City because one of the main guys in our group lives in Norman. So they were actually at that game.
Ah, okay.
So he was sitting behind the bucket where they hit the game-winning shot.
Jeez.
And he said it's probably the most fun tournament game he's ever been to. Maybe not the best player, the best people ever. But for a moment in history, I mean, because everyone remembers that shot. So I've been doing my best to go back and watch stuff. We'll get to that more later. But I watched that whole game, and even when he hit that shot, I still had chills, even though I knew it was coming. Because, you know, you do the math, you're up one, and you got a ball, and there's 30 seconds left in the shot clock and 35 left in the game, and you pull up from like a deep three.
Like, I'm pulling up. This is Curry before Curry. You know what I mean? Like, it's a Curry shot without before Curry. Dude.
Every part of your basketball IQ says, dude, run out the clock or go in for a layup.
What are you fucking doing? You guys, you're getting greedy now?
The defender's his feet were in the paint. That guy had to think, okay, the dude's going to come in for a layup. Nope, pull, pop, bust it.
I remember I was working at a bar at that time, and I remember pausing at the end, like, watching that game and how it unfolded, and I remember it must have been, like, a timeout or something. I remember coming out and walking and then seeing the situation. I was like, it's over. You know, I definitely remember that. I worked with a couple of buddies that were from Iowa originally, so they were really into that game. All right. So we're not going to do it this week, but I did send you that BPI NCAA simulation thing. Just as a reminder, we will talk a little bit about that. We can kind of, relate it to our picks. The rest of the show will be just reminiscent. You know, this is what we'd be doing. We'd be saying, oh, man, you know, like this and that. And, oh, this kind of reminded me of that. And, you know, right now we'd be a bunch of our recap would be off this crazy weekend and how it relates. Yeah, right. And how it relates. Yeah, right now I'd be like, I told you the Penn State. That was a bunch of bullshit.
Told you.
So we're definitely gonna just kind of reminisce, whether it's a personal thing and related to you personally, like I did with Duke last year, and or last week, and I'm already losing track of the calendar, I guess. And so I'll let I'm gonna do the UNLV running Rebs, but I'll let my co-host start with one of the topics he wants to talk about when it pertains to memorable moments in March Madness or in general. It doesn't have to be just March Madness, just college ball in general.
So one of the moments a lot of people will remember, and I'm very, I guess, grateful and thankful for this player, was the Davidson run with my man Stephen Curry. They made, I guess, I was actually rewatching this game too when they played Georgetown. They had been trying to make the tournament. They'd had a lot of good years, but like many of y'all know, Davidson's from a small conference, so you're normally getting only one bid in. And so they make the tournament, and then it basically became like a coming out party for Steph Curry in a game where he scores, he scores 30 in the first, no, yeah, he scored 40 and 30. And I mean, the dude just, I don't think people really, no one knew about him unless you were like a super diehard Davidson fan, Chris. But he just kind of went on this run where it's like, holy, who is this kid dropping threes left and right? Yeah. So they play Gonzaga and they won 82-76 in their first round. Curry drops 40. 30 of those points were in the second half. So, okay, they upset Gonzaga. Then they play Georgetown, a team that they were down 17 in the first half. Curry drops 30 in that win. Then Curry goes on to play the Badgers in the third round, drops 33 in that win, which was a 73-56 win. And then Curry takes him to play Kansas, and he gets double-teamed on the last play of the game, passes to a teammate who was out of position, and they lose 59-57 to what was going to be the national champs. I mean, you want to talk about a hell of a run. We always talk about those March Madness stories, Chris, where a team will win a game or two, and then the run's over. Shit,
yeah,
these guys won. They won three games and were a shot away from being the national champs of advancing. So, if you're looking for sports to watch, like many of us are, I remember I laid down on my bed and just took a nap in the afternoon and watched the game. If you're looking for fun stuff to watch, and YouTube has it, you can watch the full replay game versus Georgetown. The visual is a little off. It's not the best video ever because back then we didn't quite have HD, but it's still fun to watch. You can watch Curry do his own thing, and then they had highlights of the Gonzaga game, and I'm pretty sure they had the full Wisconsin game too. So normally there's always that March Madness story of, okay, like this is that special team. Well, this was literally, dude, like who's this little baby-faced kid?
Yeah, this kid's just scoring like crazy. And like you said, some of these wins were like clean wins. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, buzzer beater. Like, no, they're kicking people's asses.
I mean, and, you know, Gonzaga, I mean, Gonzaga was the, you know, like the seventh seed at that point or whatever, you know, but, you know, like Gonzaga was still, they were becoming a program. Like they kind of had their mojo going and, you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, by the end of the 90s, early 2000, Gonzaga was already knocking on the door of being a solid program, you know?
Yeah. So you dropped 70 points in your first two games, then followed it up with almost, 65 again, just a hell of a run. So if, again, if you're looking for stuff to watch, the Curry run was awesome. And the last point, Chris, I'll move on. It was funny watching the highlights of the Georgetown game because there was this play where Curry was dribbling, did a little step back, pull back, but like between the legs, like step back, dribble, and busted a three. And the announcer, I think it was Bill Rafferty and Nance, like, oh my God, look at that step back, pull up three. Like, where'd that come from? And it's like, dude, if you'd only known that, like, his step back, pull up three is like his, like, you know, that's just what he does now. Like, he can do it in his sleep. So it was kind of cool to see these announcers freak out over a nice three, but now the dude's been doing it for years and he's maybe one of the best 3-point shooters of all time. So put the Davidson runs on your YouTube watch list.
And that's the beautiful thing about YouTube right now for a variety of sports. I mean, boxing is something that's why I got on YouTube at the first start, because they had so many classic fights that I hadn't seen in years, or some of them that I missed because I was working or busy with the sport or whatever, and I got to go back and see the whole thing and whatnot. But you're right. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, it's on a computer, it's on your phone. No, dude, most of the smart TVs, you could go right on your TV. It's just like an app like Netflix. It's sitting right there. And your input, you know, you just do the input stuff, and you can look at it right on your TV. You don't have to start on your phone or anything like that. So I actually was talking to some people about that a while back. I was like, nah, dude, most smart TVs have it built right into the system, dude. You can go to YouTube right on your TV, watch it right on your TV. Like I mentioned, I messed with Duke a little bit based off, you know, I started it with them beating UNLV in the controversial game. And whatnot, and then, you know, how it pertained to me, that the Minneapolis, it was here, some of Duke's second championship was here in Minneapolis, so it kind of funny how I just kind of related to them and then put a personal spin on it when I was betting with them, with Scotty Thurman hitting the Rainbow Three in Arkansas when they still had Grant Hill and all that, going against them, because I was mad at that point, with UConn and them beating them, yada, yada, yada. But before, you know, the one that cemented, like, okay, Duke's for real, was that UNLV victory. However you want to say the last 6 minutes went, there is some controversy there. If you don't believe it, go to YouTube. There's specials out there. And I'm not talking about, like, some kind of far left, far right conspiracy theory. I'm talking about, why are they taking that shot? They know better than they take that shot type stuff. Where it's basically, if you look at this, well, just to get into this, the senior – or not senior years, but the last year of UNLV, scandals have come out about, you know, the point spread stuff, shaving the spread and going that type of thing. And, hey, you already won, dude. You don't have to freaking win by 28, or you better go win by 28. But, you know, that's the thing. Although they played throughout the year a schedule that had them, you know – facing teams in other conferences, not just their own conference. They played SEC, Big 8 at the time was Big 12. They did play some other teams, like I said, not just non-conference, but overall. It's funny to see some of that. They were favored by 38 or something. Well, shit, if you only, you know, win by 28, your coach is still going to be happy, you know, so that type of thing. So that's where I'm trying to say that. But Jerry Tark, and obviously the Tark, you know, Tarkanian, who had, of course, the classic towel that he'd bite on and whatnot. But he was a hell of a coach, Jerry Tarkanian. You can't just say, like, the Tark wasn't the man. And, in fact, the 86-87 season, which I remember because Indiana beat him, and I just remember their team, the way they played, and also the coach biting on the frickin', you know, on the towel. They were 37-2, 18-0 in their conference, which that's not a huge surprise in their own conference, but they were damn good. They averaged 92 points that year. They actually made it pretty deep They beat an Iowa team in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four, 84-81. They lost to Indiana in the Final Four, 97-93. They ended the season 37 in, what was it, 2 or 3 or something like that. So, I mean, it was kind of like a preview of what to come. You knew that, okay, they're going to start producing good-ass teams, and they kept doing that. Now, they didn't make, like, super deep runs over and over and over again, but they would get, fairly deep, dude. I mean, Elite Eights are pretty deep, and they went there. If you look at 88-89, they were 29-8, but 16-2 in the Big West that is now called the Big West at that time. So they were really starting to make, you know, heads turn and like, okay, who is this squad? And then, you know, and this is when I really started like, oh, this squad, okay. They were in 89-90, the year that they won. They were 35-5. And they actually dropped a game to Kansas, and they dropped another game, I think, to Oklahoma. That's who it was. I'm looking at it right now. And so you didn't think of them as a national championship team at that time. But as it kept going, they lost to, like, on the road at New Mexico State in the Big West. You know, there was some losses that they took. LSU they lost to. But there was, a sense of it at down the stretch. You know, they beat Louisville. They beat Arizona, I believe. And you're like, okay, this squad's putting it together. And then they made a pretty damn good run they beat a Big Ten pretty solid team, Ohio State, even in the round of 32. They got lucky with a MAC team with Ball State. And then a lot of people remember Loyola Marymount. And I know this was a couple years before your time fully as, actually going into your teenage years when you remember stuff even thoroughly. But that team. Now, Loyola and Marymount, this was a Sweet Six, or no, this was an Elite Eight. They beat them 131-101. Like, they were really getting it done there. Then they beat Georgia Tech, and I think it was the team that had the three, this sounds weird to say it now, but the three Ds? I don't remember what it was. The three, the triple threat. I can't remember. I think it was Nick Anderson, Dennis Scott. Who was the main clog on that? It was a short guard that went off. I think he went played for the Nets earlier. I remember that team because they got beat, or the Gophers actually got beat by them. Let me double check real quick. I got this sports reference page that's really good as far as just sending it through different things that you forgot or remember, and you go, oh yeah, that was the other round and whatnot. But they freaking demoralized Duke. So they beat them. Triple threat. Maybe that's what it was called. I can't totally remember what it was. But after that, dude, they freaking, and this is my co-host's favorite part of the breakdown. They devoured Duke in that game. I know I said it last week, but, I mean, it wasn't even, like, fair. You know, you're looking at it like, wow, dude, I'm actually feeling bad, but Duke was a pretty good club. You know, they beat them by 30 points, just destroyed them. Anderson Hunt went off. Stacey Ogman was kind of like the all-purpose teammate that got, I think he had 7 assists in that game. But they just destroyed them 103-73. And like I said, it was like great passing and all that, but it was also like street ball on them too. It was a combination of like real great basketball, but also just dunking in your face and destroying that. And that team went, you know, that they only lost one game, I think, the next year. And I remember that's the year they lost to Duke too, of course. But I do remember the Arkansas game. And Arkansas was probably one of the best teams that year. It was the best team that they had that year that they actually had to play. And I remember that because Arkansas was up like maybe 41-37 at half or something like that. And it's just like, all right, dude, Arkansas is pretty good. UNLV's, I didn't think they could lose this year, but then we'll really know if they do this. And of course they went on to beat them and ended up losing. But yeah, that team, I mean, just stacked, dude. Larry Johnson, Stacey Augmon, Anderson Hunt, like, and they're actually as of, well, this says it's as of 2017, but their UNLV was the last team from a non-power team to win a national championship. And I'm pretty sure that's held right now. And that was the largest margin of victory in a national championship game ever. And like I said, they had later, they had a lot of school. They just didn't have Grant Hill. That was the biggest thing. And I hate to say it like that, like, oh, they didn't have Grant Hill. No big deal. Of course, you know, that was a damn, that was an important piece, obviously. But, yeah, man, that UNLV squad, how they came up, you could see, like I said, that they had, you know, they had some talent, of course, but man, you really saw them turn the corner when it came to talent. And then even after that, and I forgot Greg Anthony. Greg Anthony was a damn good player, who was just solid, dude. They were just solid, you know, but Larry Johnson was just on a different planet, as far as athleticism. And, you know, the running rebels, just the rebel thing, like, I don't know, dude. It just really fit. And I just can't I remember sitting in my bedroom watching that last part of the game and just laughing and just like clowning Duke. Like, oh my God, dude, I can't believe these guys are just getting destroyed. But that team, the way they played, and you had a lot of guys that would have been pro years before. I mean, they wouldn't even think about it. Like, those guys would have been pro for sure. And, like, they wouldn't even been in that moment, you know what I mean? And so that's one of those that really stand out. That UNLV squad was just so fun to watch. They spread the ball. Like I said, it was a combination of just great basketball, but also some street ball where we're going to go right to you and dunk on your head and celebrate knowing it. And they used to call Stacey Augmon the rubber band man after that, you know, once he got into, I think he went to Atlanta, that's right. But he was just the all-purpose player. So they just – it seemed like they had the perfect lineup, man.
Yeah, I just kind of missed watching that. But, I mean, the numbers and the names you mentioned, it's like how were all those guys on one team? And it makes sense why they were just killing it. I kind of wish UNLV would become really good again. I think that would be good for college basketball. It would be kind of a fun story again. I mean, they've been okay at times. They've had some decent coaches, but they can't quite – seem to get a squad like you mentioned, or even a little bit of a more talented recruiting thing. I don't know. You'd assume if you're a college player that plays basketball and Vegas recruits you, you'd want to go there. Or maybe it'd be too hard to focus. But I don't know. But that, you know, for my other story, I'm just going to look back, and this is when I was going on my basketball trips. Actually, this might have been my first year. It might have been first or second year on my March trip. And that's the Florida Gulf Coast team. Okay, yeah. So the Stephen Curry story, you know, after the first game, you're like, okay, like this guy, they've had a long-term coach. They've had a good program. We kind of get the Davidson run. As Chris and I were saying before the show, no one in hell saw the Florida Gulf Coast team making this run, or what they were called, like, Dunk City. I mean – They were playing like Warriors type basketball, like run and gun, jack up threes. They were dunking like crazy. I guess I'm picking on Georgetown today because Georgetown got bounced out by Davidson and Curry. They also got bounced out by Florida Gulf Coast. And Florida Gulf Coast is still the only 15 seed to win two games. Okay. We have had 15 seeds, Chris, win games before.
Wow.
But a 15 seed has never made the Sweet 16. I know.
Especially with that much style. And speaking of kicking ass, like Davidson, they took that to a new level because it was like, who in the what is going on, dude? They're just dominating these teams.
I know. They beat Georgetown 78-68. As a 15. Then they also beat Kawhi Leonard University. We're talking about him a lot today too. 81-71, they beat San Diego State. So again, you know, a 15 seeds have won. I'm sure it's probably around 8 or 9 times ever happened, but they're the only team ever to do it. And I know that's not a 16 versus a 1, but it's almost just as much of a compliment, almost to win too, you know, because clearly San Diego State knew after, holy shit, Georgetown just got dunked on. We should probably be ready. And even if they were, they still lost that game 81-71. They did in advance. Unfortunately, they played Florida, who all that year was also really good, and they lost 50-62. I remember watching that game, and they just couldn't quite get a rhythm. They were kind of hanging around, but not quite just able to win the game. And the miracle run had to end. But, again, put this on your list because you want just – and I know it's hard to watch sports when the game's already happened. That does suck, and it's hard to kind of get into it, being the sport fans we are. But, like Chris said, if you want to watch a fun game of just dunks and alley-oops and threes, they put on a show. And I think that's
they
why
really
everyone kind of – that's why everyone kind of fell in love with them for a quick weekend, because you normally don't get those stories. I'll put that on my list. Probably watch that. I'll report back to you next week. I'll put that on my YouTube list. But those were some fun games. I even still remember like people talking about on like the post game shows, like Barkley and you know Shaq or not Shaq, but like you know Clark Kellogg and all those people. Like, we didn't see this one coming, you know, because a lot of times, like, when a mid-major team would go on a run, you know, those analysts would say, oh, I watched them play, man, they had this guy, they had this guy, like, we saw this one coming, what a great team. People were like, they dunk a lot, man.
Yeah, dude. They're running gun.
And then, unfortunately for them, their coach Andy Enfield went to USC, and he's still there now, so, and since then, they haven't made a tournament run, but for fun moments, watch, as Chris mentioned, the UNLV team that stomped Duke. Go back and watch Davidson's Curry's run in Florida Gulf Coast. Just some dunk city. Some fun moments. Because unfortunately, the sad news is that NBA is not even looking at being back till mid-June. And Chris, I guess to kind of wrap up my last point, when we're going through this awful stuff we're going through, that's why I'm trying to, and I know sports don't control the world, and some people don't like sports, and you can think whatever. But if the NBA, which is a billion-dollar industry, is saying, right, guys, we're hoping for mid-June, I think that should kind of put things in perspective to people of, hey, like, calm down. This is going to last right for a while. Do what you got to do and just kind of keep trying to enjoy life. Because if you hear people saying, oh, in a couple weeks, this is going to be over. Well, if this was going to be over in a couple of weeks, the NBA would not be saying, dude, we're taking a break till June. Like, I guarantee Adam Silver, who's a smart guy, is not wanting to hold off on a season, but he's probably doing what he's been told from smart people. So, again, and we're all sport fans listening to this, but just to put things in perspective and kind of don't give yourself false hopes, and not that the numbers are going to keep going up, but if the NBA is not coming back till mid-June, just kind of just put that in your head mentally of like,
at
okay,
the
let's
earliest
keep,
too.
I yeah.
Mean, that's not any kind of concrete date.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they're hopeful for. And then he's like trying to find a way to save a season, but you know, so just try to remember that. And I hope everyone that listens to this podcast is doing good. I hope there's no lack of supplies or food or anything crazy, but you know, just that's a realistic, honest situation. If the NBA is not coming back till then, you're probably going to, watch a lot more YouTube, go out for walks with your family, go take a dog on the walk, go jog a couple miles every day, like do stuff to keep yourself occupied, to try to keep going through all this stuff. But yeah, that's some fun stuff. And my last little note, I Googled, the best 10 games Gus Johnson called, and
all
just
right,
hearing that guy's voice, it brought up Pittsburgh against, Pittsburgh was playing. Louisville. And that's actually the year where I had entered a bracket and actually won. My buddy from back in – actually, first year in college, he's like, oh, yeah, my family does this pick a bracket. Everyone throws in $40. It's only 80 people. You can win, like, you know, a couple hundred. And I still remember to this day, I was the only person in the whole – out of 45 entrances, I picked Louisville to win – the calling, and I remember the name Francisco Garcia. I mean, it was so weird.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing, like,
I remember that.
Like, watching the game, I'm like, holy shit, I remember these guys' names. And I was like, dude, that's when I remember, like, I picked that bracket because Francisco Garcia made that run. And the same day they make the Final Four was the crazy game. You've always talked about the Illinois 14-point comeback against Zona. It's so weird that I can remember what I did for a specific game in 2005. Right. Yet I can't remember to pay my damn bills or if I ever lock my door when I go to my car.
Yeah, exactly.
It shows that those sports maybe a little too much, but that's all I got for now.
Well, and just to piggyback off what you said, too, and remember, this is like They said when they first did it not two Wednesdays ago yet, but, you know, a while back now, they said, and I'm speaking of the NBA, they were saying 30 days at that time, and then we'll figure it out. You know, they already put it for 30 days.
Sure.
And then they're like, then we'll look at it now, just at the earliest, like you said, it's mid to late June. So, and that's like speculation, obviously. So it's not like you have to stay in your house the whole day. You can go for a walk, go for a run, like you said. I went for kind of a hike where I kind of did both by the riverbanks, and it was just – it felt great. You get out there, and you're like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Last week you talked about Syracuse-UConn six overtime, right? Is that the one you talked about?
Yeah, because ESPN had been replaying it for a couple days in a row.
Right, and that was the longest game in Big East tournament history. You had Johnny Flynn, who had 34-11. That freaking – I do remember that. But as far as the Big East – I'm only going to talk about a little bit here, but that'll be something that we'll talk about in the coming weeks too, as far as just the Big East tournament, great moments out of it. Because the Big East tournament, you know, Big Ten, you know, huge on the Big Ten, ACC, been watching that for years, and blah, blah, blah. And we know that, right? We know the Pac-12 used to be pretty damn good. 2005, they had three out of four in the Final Four, or two of them at least. I mean, UCLA made it back-to-back years, like, but the thing is about the Big East, and now, once the Big East, now, it did as good as it could, you know, it did it as good as it could to, you know, like, salvage what it could, and this year they had a good year, and that type of thing, right, but there's just no replacing it, especially with, like, 20 teams and shit like that, you know what I mean, like, it's ridiculous, and you know, I just remember those Friday. Of course, it would start the earliest, too, because it had the most teams. But I really remember just those Fridays and Saturday nights. Because, you know, I don't think it was – yeah, the Big 12, I think, too, did Sundays. Definitely the Big 10 and the SEC would do it on Sundays. What was the ACC a Saturday? It was a Saturday night thing, right? Or was it – was there a time when it was Sundays?
No, ACC has always been a wrap up on Saturdays.
Right. Or at least, you know, for the last 20 years or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And yeah.
Honestly, like, when you look at it, dude, it's like those Friday and Saturday nights, dude. You just knew, like, all the bars I went to or I worked at, I should say, or a friend's house I was chilling at or whatever. Everybody for the week before it, everybody was honed in on it. And we got to the point at this bar I worked at where not only did we have brackets, and I think you got in one of the last years we did it, we had the normal brackets, but we had conference championship brackets too, tournaments.
Yeah.
So we jumped in on that for a couple years in a row. But the Big East was always the funnest. It was always the best to watch. And I remember when they broke it up, I just will always remember that being the best tournament, hands down. It's really not even close. And how many memorable moments that it produced down the wire. And some of them you kind of forget. Some of them may not stand out crazy, but it was just a crazy upset and a buzzer beater and a double overtime and all that stuff. But I do remember like next week, I think I'm going to talk about Georgetown-UConn because that had Iverson and Ray Allen, dude. That was crazy. But in 2006, you had Jerry McNamara. And McNamara, this dude was – he just went off. Like Syracuse, you know, had lost 9 out of 13 heading into the damn tournament. They weren't going to go to the dance, obviously. But McNamara, he just freaking went off. He basically single-handedly dominated. I mean, this guy, the buzzer beater to beat Cincinnati, down 3 against UConn. He nailed a 3 to go into that overtime. Like, McNamara and just that run they had through it, you know. I mean, that's why I kind of wanted to piggyback off some of the stuff you're talking about. That was 2009, that six overtime game. It wasn't 2006, but that run that Syracuse made, and of course, they got in the tournament, and they're so burnt by 5 out of 5 that they ended up getting beat in the first round. Am I right on that? I'm pretty sure I'm right on that.
By Vermont.
Yeah, there you go. So it's like, okay. But see, that was just a part of it. That McNamara, you know, he may be in coaching. He may be a head coach. I just don't remember. But you're always going to remember that type of performance. I mean, it was just crazy to see them make a run like that. It was just unbelievable. And so that's another one that I wanted to share. I will bring up Kemba and some other ones. And like I said, we're going to try to keep going with this, whether it's just next week, whether it's 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. We're just going to go off basically how you guys are feeling about it. And if you're kind of getting sick of them and you've seen enough online or whatever, we understand. We're just going to try to see how long we can go with this just to enjoy it amongst ourselves and help people get over it. That'll do it for the show. You can shut us down there. So,
hey, yeah, just keep going to YouTube. Sadly, that's our choice for a while. Like I said, just try to make the best out of it. Try to stay happy and positive. Clearly, this stuff's never been planned for. Kind of like why the NCAA, I think they should give the kids a chance. No one's ever saw this coming. So let those kids enjoy a fun March Madness again. Until then, we'll be back next week. I will watch more games on YouTube. I'll have more to report. Literally, all I always say, stay safe. But stay safe. Wash your hands. Stay away from people. And we thank you for supporting. Coming back and listen next week. The boys are out tonight. Peace.